starting here in the Robbins Room. The normal chair is Lee Hutton on behalf of the state attorney's office. He is excused from today's meeting, so I have the distinct honor and privilege of chairing this widely attended meeting. All right, so let's get to the agenda. I guess that's my call to order. Let's go ahead and do the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will have a roll call, as I said. We already know that Mr. Attorney's office is absent.
Alan Schmidt, present.
Charlie Cofer, public defender.
Brian Hughes, on behalf of the mayor.
Julie Taylor, on behalf of Chief Judge Mahan.
Daniel Henry, to your commission.
Thank you all. With that out of the way, the old business would be approval of the February 28th meeting minutes.
Move approval.
I'd second that.
Minutes approval has been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. The minutes are approved.
Does the action from her comment they were action report? All right.
Okay, so new business.
Does somebody have control of any of that?
You can just turn it off in the back.
Go ahead and my voice projects a lot.
Yeah. Okay, so item 2A, the 2 is new business. A is the OAG budget proposal. There is a bullet saying public comment, but I think it's your presentation time first, and then...
Yes, sir.
So, sorry to the committee, Inspector General, board.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hughes. I'll make this very short, very succinct. The document you have in front of you is my proposed budget for fiscal year 23. As you'll see, there's really not much change to the budget. I haven't been in a position long enough probably to make a true assessment of what the true needs are financially for the office. Unfortunately, the bulk of our knowledge base is no longer with the office, so we're trying to recreate the wheel and start from scratch on a lot of these processes. So based on that, the salary dollars, there's a slight increase on my request, and that is because prior to my arrival, there was a consideration to add one more bill to the office. So right now, the office is currently authorized 12 positions. We only have 10 currently filled. So we have a vacant position for a contract review specialist and a vacant position for a director of audit. Mm-hmm. So the contract review specialist will probably be advertised this week. The director of audit was, I think, from a financial perspective, was planned for next fiscal year. So these budget dollars that you see, the 956 for last year, the 1 million is the proposal that would include salary dollars for that new position. Other than that, the only other request would be potentially $10,000, and you'll see in the operating expenses, and that is for a vehicle for the office. Right now, the office does not have any assigned vehicles. I talked to Mr. Grieve yesterday and tried to get a ballpark of what it would cost. He told me about $10,000 a year for a vehicle. I think initially, if you look at the cost of what we're spending for reimbursement for mileage, it's well below that threshold. But I equate it to how will we know what we can do with the vehicle unless we have a vehicle to figure it out. So my goal was to do this for 1 year and then reassess. So $10,000 increase is for that vehicle. Other than that, I left all the numbers exactly the same based on last year's request.
Very good. Committee members have questions?
One question, which is, and it's largely because I don't understand how the budget works. I don't see an increase for benefits or taxes if you're adding a new FTE. Do you need to fill that in?
So my understanding, based on the information we've given so far, is we don't control it. That's done by the budget office. So when all the numbers are filing in, they make that assessment. So those are fixed costs that I have no control over. And I'm like you, I don't understand the budget process very well. So we're learning this together, but that's my understanding.
I'm trying to understand it.
Most of the time. I believe this is the reason it doesn't appear to have those go up is related to the vacancies. But even if there's an adjustment to be made, that's the benefit costs are the benefit costs. So the budget is designed to have this modest contingency across all departments in that area for the in and out and potential of some salary adjustments. So that's probably why budget office left the number in place as is.
This year, I think you're going to see that we're woefully under-executing our budget. I think that has a lot to do with the uncertainty in the office and the fluctuating billets that we have.
Yeah.
So on the salary side of the house, we have quite a bit of money left over this year, and the operating expenses as well, travel expenses, all those are significantly higher than I anticipated this time of the year, and that's because of the office situation.
And just for the record, so your CAG people will have your military term of billets, we call them FTEs.
FTEs. Duly noted.
Yeah, one question on the vehicle that you're requesting. Yes. This kind of concept is for it. It's going to be a pooled vehicle.
That's correct.
It'll be there available for
them. That's correct. Okay. So right now, the investigators, when they do any type of investigative work outside of the office, they're using their personally owned vehicles, and they claim mileage. So from the perspective of the liability of the city and the person in there, and I ask the question of OGC about what kind of liability there is. If I have investigators out doing city work on city time in their personal vehicles, does it make sense for us not to have a city vehicle?
Yeah, and there's also the Joey Driver, he's the CFO, myself. Joey also runs fleet and is a charter, and he and I met with about this, and we're favorably disposed to it. The exercise of looking at what your mileage expenses were wasn't a we'll see, you didn't get to that gradually,
correct?
It was just to have the understanding.
Yes, sir.
But we agree that for a variety of reasons. One, I think it looks better when the inspector general personnel are showing up in official vehicles so that people understand that it's fully official and not something to ignore. And I think actually at this point the mileage considerations to personal use are not keeping up with the inflationary costs and the potential impacts as we think about risk and liability. So it's just a question of finishing the paperwork, really.
But simply from a management standpoint, it's going to have to do a lot of periodic reimbursements, just keep track of it.
Yes, sir.
And it's, and the vehicles in the fleet, the inventory includes something that can apply to it. So it's not a it's not that we have to go out and buy a car on EIG, it's in the fleet already.
This is another, I don't know how budgets work. Do we have to account in this budget for the insurance on the car, or that comes from the fleet budget?
That's built into the 10,000 is a number that includes all of our back end expenses for the year related to it. So we have our own maintenance and this.
It's all in.
It's like a flat charger.
Yeah, it's an inner, you know, it's not like technically it's we give him 10,000, he gives it back, but it's we have to account for it in those terms, but it's in place and it's easily absorbed without impacting the rest of the budget.
So, I had a couple of questions. The 11.4%, I know you had said adjustments, and you also said that salaries and stuff is basically up at the office, basically calculating that. So is the entire 11% increase strictly the normal COLA increases that everyone gets?
No, the 11% increase would accommodate that extra billet, the director of audit billet, that we currently don't have in our budget.
Okay. And I remember it at, it was the meeting that we had right before we did the interviews. I think the previous IG had said that she was going to leave behind suggestions for possible positions that she was going to suggest that we need to have. Yeah, go ahead.
Let's free flow this. Maybe it's not Robert's rules, but it's just us.
Yeah.
Ms. Goodman approached me while she was interim about some ideas she had about staffing, and I asked her, look, before rather than just text reading it, let's really you drill down on it with all of your good thinking about why that is there, and then we'll make sure there's overlap with the new person so that you all can look at it together. And I think where, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong,
yes,
I think where RIG has landed is he's got a couple vacancies already because of some fluctuation. So adding one, she had talked about it, possibly three, but I think at this point, his position would be add one, and then with the other two vacancies, I'll get what I need on my first pass. And obviously, as I've told him and I've told his predecessors, we're always ready to hear, whether it's put up a wall, take down a wall, reorganize the office, contemplate staffing, contemplate vehicle. We're prepared to accommodate and work the budget, but as a starting point, for the upcoming fiscal year. It's add one, and then using that plus the vacancies does what I think.
Yes, sir. In addition to that, Ms. Goodman had also suggested potentially hiring a lawyer for the office. And we had that discussion, I had that discussion with OGC, and Mr. Teal and I came to the conclusion that it would not be necessary and probably not very prudent for us to do that. So we'll continue to use OGC resources for that. But that's one of those things where Ms. Goodman had suggested this position and a lawyer position, and I decided that the lawyer probably wouldn't be necessary.
So the suggestions that she gave is, was that formalized, like written down as to her explanations as to why she wanted specific positions?
When you say formalized, notes to me kind of thing?
Yeah.
But it's not a formal document that was created. It was just her suggestions to me written down, you know, potentially, you may want to consider this, you may want to consider that. So what happened was when I took the job on March 21st, the office, since that time, several folks, we've had two that left since then. So those are vacancies that we're slowly filling back up. Ms. Watts, who's here today, is one of the new hires. We have a director of investigations that has been offered a position that he's accepted. And so that leaves me with two vacancies. One is an auditor position, and the other one was an investigator. What I'm going to do is combine those and try to get by, which is a director of audit, and then use them to fill the remaining vacancies.
You said you were going to combine the auditor and the investigator position?
Because right now I have two positions, two vacancies left based on my initial role. I'm going to fill one with the director of investigation and then try to accomplish everything with the director of audit and the lawyer and a contract review specialist onto one building.
Yeah, I would add, if, as I've said it to the IG, if, you know, if we get another 6 months, 7 months, we're back here for a quarterly update or something, and now he's had the extra time to sort of get people in place, you know, the administration at least will remain as open as we always are to this position to hear whatever the needs are so that we can meet them. But as I had said in some previous meetings, there has never been a request from Inspector General in the Mayor's office, staff, or facilities related that we didn't make a positive adjustment. We may not have always been everything they asked for, but we always work to, because we care and make sure that they ask for needs to do work.
And that was going to be my next question, because I don't want you to get chained to what you're requesting, which is basically what you had last year, and then you get to midpoint, you decide that we need to do adjustments. So you answered that question. I think the last one, I guess, is more of a technical one. You said that you had a lot of money left over. Does all that go back into the general fund, or does it get to keep it?
That's a good question.
For answer the question, Mr. Hughes, I would like to spend it, but just not on. We have other things in the office that we're currently trying to do. Yeah. What I'm hoping is that I'll talk with Mr. Hughes, I'll talk to the finance folks, and see if I can do TDs from smaller accounts into other accounts to pay for, you know, like training materials and things like that that we need in the office.
Yeah, there's a process to take money saved from one area and move it to the other. But it starts at MBR, so it starts with our finance department, so that everybody agrees the numbers are the numbers, so we're all on the same page as far as what the amounts are. Then those dollars can be reallocated depending on how much and what for. Some can be just done at the Mayor's Budget Review Committee meeting level, and others sometimes have to go back to council. But similar, I am certain that between now and September, the end of September, the Inspector General will find a way
to
utilize those resources.
That's correct. We're not talking about, when I say a lot of money, in other words, we had $15,000 for travel budget. We've only spent $500 of that because of COVID, because of the influx in the office. So that money we reallocated to training dollars, or to, for example, we don't have any, we don't have a video monitor in the, in the office to do training with. So we're going to purchase a decent sized television to do that.
Okay.
That's fine. I just, I noted before that Mr. Hunter from State, his office was an excused absence. And I meant to also mention Council President. I knew he was also, we were aware of the absence.
Thank you. On the proposed budget, pension costs, employee provided benefits, and payroll taxes all have two stars after them, but there's no explanation for what that should be indicating. What does that mean?
That means that they're not final yet because we've pension particularly, there's some other factors in that number. They have yet to bring the most up-to-date actuary. So the budget submitted by the end of July, between now and then, the pension boards, actuaries, and the other committees can work, and that is all the work. It's a good, it's a very accurate first pass at level two.
Thank you.
And Shane, that's my fault, because it did have that in there, and I took it out.
Thank you.
That's my fault. Another question I have for you, Mr. Hughes, is the very first line, the revenue strength. On the independent agencies, their contributions, we're having a little bit of issue with that.
They're made aware. I'll leave it at the meetings underway right now.
Yes, sir. I'll leave it at that.
Make the case that that was well thought out and well negotiated and on a few left place.
Thanks, sir. I'm going to leave it to your capable hands.
I think the only last question I had is, do you know when you'll have a better idea as to how your org chart will ultimately be shaped out? Or if you've already decided?
No, we haven't.
Do I have with us?
No.
So I have a pretty good idea what it's going to look like at the end of the day. Right now, I can probably give you a 90% solution as to what it looks like currently and where I'd like it to go. The addition of the director of audit would probably be the most significant increase. And once we hire that contract oversight specialist, right now the office has three silos or three divisions, if you will. It has an inspection, or excuse me, investigation silo, has an audit silo, and
the contract.
And our contracting piece is only 1D, meaning there's one contract oversight specialist for the IG, and she recently retired. So right now, I don't have anyone doing contract oversight. So at the end of the day, I have to get a contract oversight specialist on board, and then the addition of the director of audit would close out what my current board of trust is going to look like.
What do you kind of envision for, since it's going to be a new person, what are you kind of envisioning that contract specialist working?
So I spoke to Mr. Peace about this, and I spoke to OGC about this as well. And OGC kind of laid out how they look at contracts and what their responsibility is to the city in terms of legal sufficiency and how contracts are led. And I explained to them that I'm looking at it from a completely different perspective. I would like to look at contracts, or have a contract review specialist look at contracts from a fraud perspective. And looking at contracts to say, you know, like a sole source contract, for example, is properly led, is there justification for a sole source? And also the compliance piece. I don't think right now there's a very good compliance piece in the city. There's no one looking at them from a compliance perspective, ensuring that we're going back and making sure that it's done. So that's what I envision. It's a very unique talent set. So I'm having a little bit of a hard time finding that person, but I will find them. And when I bring them on board, it's going to be valued to the city. I give you a great example. So for example, the city recently led a contract for body cameras for JSL. It was a $17 million contract. We looked at it as well as we can without that expertise, and determined properly led, you know, all things were done correctly. It was a great contract, and from a perspective of, was there any fraud committed? So those are the types of things where we can go back out to the city at large and say, we looked at this contract. Yes, it was a very large contract, a very large expenditure, but it was done correctly. To me, that has as much credibility and shows faith in the system as much as finding and detecting fraud. So if I had somebody who would look at things and say, yeah, you know what, it was expensive, but they did it right, that has as much value for the city as detecting fraud. So there's a lot of good things going on with the city right now that I don't think are being highlighted. And I can give you another example if we have time. I know you're pressed for time, Mr. Hughes, but for example, we had a complaint recently come in where someone was alleging that some of the independent agencies were inappropriately giving out bonuses. So I sent a letter out to all independent agencies and asked them for the last two fiscal years, 21 and 22, on bonuses that they give out to their employees. And then basically the policies they use to determine who gets a bonus, right? There's a Florida statute that determines, or pretty much explains that pretty well, how bonuses are supposed to be determined. Well, JEA was one of the first respondents, and they gave fantastic, voluminous amounts of information as to how their bonus system is set up. It's done in accordance with the statute. It's perfect. It's a great example of how it should be done. So the benefit, I guess, is for me to go back now to the same independent agencies and say, hey, I got your input. JEA is doing it right. You guys might want to look at JEA's process, their procedures, and you know, capture that and as business practice. But I think it's important for those types of things to get advertised as equally as the bad, so that the city sees and that the government sees that someone's looking at this thing and they're not looking just for bad, but highlighting what's good as well.
Do you anticipate, because this is also one of the things that Ms. Goodman had mentioned just at that same meeting, that she thought it was a good idea for a contract person to be on the front end of when the city is actually procuring those services.
Yes. I was going to say that I think that's a finer point of what he just said, because
that was a great,
great piece is the chief of procurement.
Correct.
And the whole thing and administration's, after being briefed, is supportive of this, is to find a pathway for that position once it's locked in to have access to the front end of the procurement process.
Correct.
And the back end of the compliance.
Correct.
So it's the, I apologize for speaking before.
No, that's the intent.
The intent is to have it at both sides at the beginning and then continue through the length of the contract to have access to the information so that it's not just about somebody claims one contract was ordered. They have whatever threshold they come up with based on their bandwidth. If it's any contract over X, we're going to use this process. It's followed each step of the way.
Correct.
And I guess my last question on that same topic. I think it would also be really helpful, because I think you acknowledge it as well, that if you notice anything in sense of how the city can do a better job in terms of keeping track of its contracts and making sure it's compliant, I think that would be very helpful, because I know that's been a reoccurring issue in the past.
I'll defend myself briefly.
No, I mean, in terms of technology.
Listen, contract compliance is a huge pain and a huge weak spot. And it's driven by a strange artifact of the bureaucracy, which is we have thousands of contracts, but they literally can be dispersed as far as point of accountability across the entire bureaucracy. You can have a division chief that runs the contract, and a very similar contract with the same company could have a compliance component in an entirely different department. And it's something that we've tried and continue to try to make better. And it was one of the exciting things about the Inspector General's interest in inflection points in the process, to have another layer of accountability added so that it's not always at the end when the compliance has gone off the rails when we hear about it.
Thank you. Hope that answers your question.
Good. Any other questions or comments? So I'll say a couple things. We'll take action on this in a moment. And as a reminder to the committee, our action is, as this IG, the Retention Selection Committee, we are saying we agree with the Inspector General. This is the budget that we all understand what it's for, and we approve it. And then that proceeds into the regular budgetary process, which will involve the Inspector General in a few months coming to NBRC, then the mayor's budget when it's rolled out to City Council, the Finance Committee, and the full council's process. We'll then have the Inspector General there once again. But fundamentally, this is about the Inspector General having the weight of his committee behind him, saying, we agree that's the appropriate budget based on the information that.
So the plan said you get to submit this basically for
same as everyone.
Yes.
Alright, so before we do action required, we're required to have public comment. I'm not seeing any hands or interest in public comment across the widely attended meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on approval of the FY23 budget. Any additional comments before we vote? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Unanimous for approval of the Inspector General's FY23. Item B in new business is the IGSRC goals pursuant to Directive 2019-001.
Yes, sir. So this is another one where I think I'm on the right track. I'm hoping you guys can point me in the right direction. There's a requirement for an annual submission of a report to the Secretary of the City Council, and it's basically this committee's report. So in the past, the Inspector General's office has generated a report due, I believe, and one of the items that's required is the present goals for the IGSRC. And I didn't know, Mr. Hughes, if because of the events of the last year, you or the committee wanted to tackle this. Well, we certainly can do it. I just don't know if we have the perspective or have the...
I need a reminder, actually. I mean, is this timeline should have some historical precedent as last year about this time of predecessor. I don't think it's something this committee does. I think it's generally something prepared for us.
That's correct, by us.
Yeah.
Correct. But this year being as it was, is there any need or any inclination on the committee's part to take any of these bullets and actually provide the information to me?
Understood. So you will want us to take a look at it if we have it before the meeting?
Correct.
Correct. Give us a moment. And I'll, if any committee member has a question, just jump in.
It's a very small document, 2 pages. It doesn't go into much detail. In the past, I told last year's reports, and it's a very simple document, so it's not a question of what, whether or not I can do it. I certainly can. But the first bullet, for example, A, the present goals for this committee, probably more appropriate for you to establish that than me.
There's a little formatting problem with the document. I printed it at work, and I have a copy here, and it seems like it's repeating things multiple times, but I think I got a sense of it.
Is it meant to do, I think it was...
Yes, you're correct.
Okay.
So on the second page, we just disregard basically the entire page, other than the stop in our starting, I guess, the bullets on number two. So
the only thing that I have a question on is, as you noted, bullet A, I'm curious if it would be value in you. Have you spoken to the chair, the regular chair?
I have not.
Yeah, I would, do we meet again before June 15th?
I don't believe so.
Then I would entertain a motion, perhaps, to approve this with a caveat of ensuring that between now and its final production, the Inspector General meet with our regular committee chair for input, particularly on representing the entire committee from the chair for present goals. I don't think it's going to be fundamentally more than what we all agree on anyway. Our goal is to ensure continuity and strong performance of a well-qualified Inspector General, which we probably already agreed to spend the past few months doing. Quite more than the past, but
I'm going to interject. A goal that I would have for our committee is maybe to revamp the evaluation process, and that might be something that we want to work on with Mr. Hutton in a separate meeting to parse it out and see what we can do differently in the future. And I think that everybody else has additional goals.
We should be able to get done. Revamping the evaluation for the Inspector General?
Yeah.
It was done, but it was not at the House.
I think that's the case, and I can certainly provide you with that, the results of that.
I think we might be talking about two different things, because okay. I do remember Ms. Goodman presenting revisions to the self-evaluation and the evaluation
yes.
tool, but I was thinking more in terms of what other information could this committee collect separate from the self-evaluation that the IG submits to us to better inform the process. So thank you for reminding me.
Perhaps a motion could encapsulate that component as well, so that our chair gets a clear communication that is appropriate on what he and the Inspector General might put down on paper. Anything else thought on that?
The interesting thing about this process, we're talking about the annual report, you're going to submit this June, is for a year, that's over a year past, it doesn't include all of what we've just been.
Well, there's two different reports. There's the annual report that the Inspector General does for the Office of the Inspector General, and it has the whole year encapsulated. This is actually the committee report, the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee report that's submitted to the Secretary of Council. It's on behalf of you. We write it on behalf of the committee.
Yeah.
Every committee is required to do that.
Correct. Every board and commission is required to do that.
But ordinarily, the committee actually drafts the report and submits it. But in this case, since the committee is ad hoc and it doesn't really, meets only for this purpose, I think in the past it's been determined that my office would write it for you and then give it to you and you guys would chop on it. But I think my only question was, in this year, would it make more sense for Mr. Hutton to do bullet A? And that was it.
That's what you're concerned.
So that's what I'm trying to do is get us to a place where we can sort of pre-approve with the notion of getting, appropriately giving Lee some indication of what we dealt with here, that he might consider it.
I love this. I move that we approve directive 2019-001 and authorize the chair to make additional changes to 2A in regards to the IGSRC ethicals.
I like that. And is there a way to add to that motion that the committee considered in that motion or in this vote the potential of the year ahead, including some assessment and evaluation?
Yes, if someone would like to amend it, it's articulated the way they wanted to. Because I imagine it's yours. So I move that someone would have to second it, and then I imagine you would want to amend it to reflect what I
think. You could adopt his word.
I didn't say whether that was clear for Christina.
I typed everything you guys said.
So it's going to be a motion for Mr. Henry that incorporated thoughts for me that I hope were an accurate distillation of thoughts, which are, we're approving this, we're asking the chairman, the regular chairman, to work with the IG on it, and we're giving him some indication that one of the things we specifically discussed was, as a year goal, to be good evaluation in some future meetings about our process as it relates to the IG evaluation.
That's fine. And I should have looked in that direction. It was good.
Got it. And this got it too, so we're good.
Second side.
After I made that convoluted, we did get to a motion in a second, so this will be as discussed in approval of the IGSRC goals pursuant to Directive 2019-001. All those in favor? Any public comment? Seeing hearing none. All those in favor of Directive 2019-001 moving forward? And we also have on the agenda item C, which is to propose an amendment to the IGSRC 2017-01 directive. So,
yes, sir. If I may, look at the last page of this amendment request. It's just striking through the department and dating specific data department and changing the language to allow this meeting to occur prior to the budgetary process as opposed to locking us into a specific date.
Understood. So it gives more flexibility. It doesn't do what it needs. It just gives more flexibility on the timeline and time.
Yes, sir. That's
exactly. And the management of that compliance, you need your office and staff to make sure you get it done.
Yes, sir.
I read this earlier and I had a question about procedure number 4. So the committee can consider whether the IG's contractual pay should be adjusted for the upcoming fiscal year. It is thinking about things like, does the city take responsibility for a market analysis and recommendations for changes to the pay range? Because it seemed like we were near the max of the pay range, and so I wasn't quite sure what would happen if we did want to authorize a pay increase but were bumped up against the max. Is there a
Range
for that?
Is set up such that it's not a ceiling, it's a ceiling at hiring. So then if thereafter the city, and we will, so October is the next uptick based on the previous negotiated rates schedule, that uptick will apply, and regardless of whether it goes through the cap, the range is built on day one, not on day 100.
Thank you. Those were the only notes I made for myself.
Okay, so a question?
And I would note that if we did a reminder that when we were talking salary, Ms. Goodman had done a pretty good job of kind of evaluating the market space, mm-hmm. and that guidance went into our numbers.
I was just curious. I may be overthinking this, so forgive me if I'm making a point that's not there. From the previous conversation that we had about how if we had a mid-year, we need to make if we actually need to make adjustments, that's something that we work out between you two on the mayor's office. How does that fit in with the second point of the draft?
That's a good question. So I'm trying to think of the example. So a good example is the predecessor full-time had made an evaluation that based on her structure of staff and office, she literally needed some spaces converted to sort of a small conference space. So it's really outside of the IG's office where we do building supervision and building maintenance and things like that. We typically bill it against unless we're up against budget caps for that office. So we did it, and I don't know that she brought it to this committee to say, I need my office, I need these two things to be converted to the wall of dirt. I know that she ultimately talked about it after the fact. I don't recall if before proceeding it came to this body or not.
So let me give an example. You tell me what would we do. So I'm going to speak for you.
That's fine.
Let's just say 6 months from now, yeah. We're in the beginnings of the new fiscal year. He says, you know what? After looking at the complexity of how we're going to deal with the contracting silo, I really need two people. I need a director and a contract specialist if he doesn't have any more money to do that. And he wants to add that to his office.
Yeah.
Would he work directly with you, or would he come back to the committee for that, or how would that
be? I think he'd do both. I think that example is why I couldn't think of one that you got to hypothetical. I think that was timing alone would be such that it could be done in 2 weeks. It would have to be, we would have to internally in the mayor's office and budget staff sit and contemplate that. We'd have to adjust the budget, which would involve city council. So we would be on a path of trying to make that work if we initially agreed. But I think this committee would still have to hear it and have the opportunity to hear it before it reaches city council. And obviously that would be the best case scenario for something like that because it is a mid-year adjustment. But if we as an administration agreed with the case being made for me, we would at least begin the process so that by the time the next quarterly meeting or the next meeting of this body happened, or if it was so urgent that a special meeting had to be called, we would have all the precursor work done to explain whether or not the budget could handle it.
So I wonder, I was thinking when you were talking, Mr. Henry, that should we add a number 5 that says something like, nothing in this document precludes the Inspector General's selection of retention committee from considering budgetary amendments throughout the fiscal year? Do we do that, or is it understood we can do that?
I think what 2 is basically saying, what we just said,
okay.
Is the directive doesn't contemplate the IG doing it. Maybe in a smaller situation directly with the administration outside of the mm-hmm.
community. I hear you.
So I just wanted to see where the...
I mean, the question is, here's a practical, right? So the IG saw the need for the vehicle, came to us, we've started the process. I guess we could formally say, well, before any of that can happen, this committee has to weigh in. I'm hesitant to do that just because I know the internal process anyway.
And I don't want to go down that road either. Yeah. I just want to make sure that the process that you guys just verbally said at the meeting is reflected in the direct. Because right now, if I'm outside of this process and I'm looking at this and I read it this way, especially if it's one sentence, I would think that if there's any recommendations for a budgetary amendment, that you'd have to come to us. And I don't think that's what we're saying we want.
If I may, I would disagree with that only because it uses the word may. which means that we can consider it, but we don't have to, which indicates to me he can choose to handle it another way if he doesn't want to come to us. But that's just the way I read it. I don't think it precludes that.
So does that mean it could happen and we could never be consulted? And if that's correct, is that okay?
Well, I don't think you could never be consulted. It would have to come through a representative of the mayor's office, who undoubtedly is involved. And I think the IG would, regardless of whether it had to be voted on here or not, the next time we met, that has just happened. He saw a need about this vehicle issue and brought it to us in the discussion in the background.
I look at this as more of the basic procedures to ready the presentation of the budget to the mayor's office. It is not micromanaging how you deal with the city on budgetary issues.
So I arrived at comfort with it. If anyone does, it's good to talk about. It's good to look at. But now that we don't need to change it, but if anybody is otherwise going to run.
I think it gives flexibility instead of saying it's got to be between this time period. It's got to be a time enough so for you to be ready for the mayor's budget.
That was the intent.
All right, so in light of that, and given our additional time from the committee, we will entertain a motion to approve, or are we going to have
this? So moved.
A motion and second to accept the proposed amendment to the IGSRC 2017-01 directive. Before we take the vote, any public comment? Seeing hearing none, all those in favor of this action say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. It is approved. All right. We are to any other business meeting today. Anyone in the crowd? Mr. Henry.
I just want to see how your first month is going.
It's been interesting. But I thoroughly enjoyed it thus far. I've got a great staff. I think there's potential there for some great things. So I'm looking forward to getting there. Daily's a little bit harder. But so far, so good.
Is it all you dreamed of?
I will say this on behalf of the mayor's office and what I can see from where I work and sit. This inspector general has already worked harder to cultivate relationships across city government, independent authorities, agencies, constitutional officers. He's been out meeting folks, all of us that he's interacted with, if we're talking about any of the issues brought up or thought about. There's just a very favorable and positive outlook on the approach and the ideas about where we can go in the future, where he can go in the future with this office, and proactively and perhaps preventively being in the contract process. So kudos from me based on what we're seeing. Any other business? No comments from the public?
I was going to ask them offline.
Okay. That said, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
All right.
How are you doing? How are you doing?